So the next guy is Matt from Baked, and I just want to say that is like my dirtiest, crustiest, most stained cookbook in my kitchen, the first one, because I don't have the second one yet. I'll get it tonight. The best cookies, I wanted those cookies in my book, In Apron Anxiety, but there was like copyright issue or something. But best cookies, great guys. Matt and Renato left their day jobs in advertising to open up the bakery Baked in Brooklyn to the immediate praise from fans across the country. They have been featured on Oprah for their famous brownie, and maybe more, probably more, The Today Show, The Food Network, The Martha Stewart Show. Their books include Baked, Baked Explorations, and the forthcoming Baked Elements. Louis and Poliafito, he's not here, so I can butcher his last name, live in New York, and here's his story.
All right. I just want to say one thing. I do have a small frog in my throat. I don't usually sound this good. I usually sound a little gayer. So, it's a good thing. I also will be reading off of notes. Unfortunately, my other panelists are showing me up because they memorized everything, and you guys did a terrific job. But I'll be kind of going off of what I wrote because I didn't want to screw this one up because it's a Julia event. Come on. First of all, I just want to thank everybody for coming out. Baked was real excited when we got the call to be here. All of our chefs that work at Baked were just enamored that they could be part of it. I was really especially enamored that I could be part of it because Julia kind of created this moment in my life that I want to tell you about. I got a little verklempt when they called. It's not normally that I get verklempt. It's very, very rare. But these things happen. I kind of always associate Julia Child with one of those like extraordinary, you know, rare life moments, the moments where the world of family and friends and possible futures coalesce into like something that feels like a dream or like a lifetime movie episode thing. So you seem like many, many years ago when I was youngish, not young, but youngish. My dad and his wife decided to rent this old house in Perdu, which is a really, really charming town in the south of France. It's still got its old butcher, a real butcher, not like one of these fake butchers, but like a real old butcher, a bread baker, and a small grocery store, and that's about it. Oh, they all sell wine. There's lots and lots of wine down in Perdu or Provence. And they encouraged me to bring my friends and my family and friends of friends and just kind of come and hang out. So we went and hung out. We did things I suppose you would usually do in Provence, which was like walk to the butcher and the farmer's market to gather provisions to cook a big meal on in a really tiny kitchen or like an outside grill. And, you know, and we did these things a lot. We also, you know, we drank wine by the pool because there was a pool. We made sure there was a pool when they rented the house. We picked fresh figs from these trees on the property. We went to St. Remy to people watch, and we went to a lavender farm. I still haven't figured out why we went to a lavender farm, but we went to a lavender farm because that's what you do in Provence. And then we also read a bunch of books while lolling about. And sometimes if we didn't drink too much of the wonderful wines, especially like the Chateau Neuf de Pape, we actually remembered what we read the night before. And one of those books we all read and we all remembered and dissected and discussed was My Life in France, which is pretty appropriate considering the setting. And though we all knew a little bit about Julia Child before reading this book, and I mean, by the way, everybody in the house read this book. It was just passed around and passed around. After reading this book, we knew a lot about Julia. We all kind of developed crushes on Julia. About 99% of us wanted to be Julia. Everybody wants to be Julia, rightfully so. And, you know, we were dissecting this book and we all kind of focused on this one chapter. And I believe it's page 48 because I had to look this up today. But there's a moment where she talks about that epic meal, that life-changing moment in her life where she goes to, and I'll probably say this incorrectly, but Rouen. And she has, you know, this meal which is wine and oysters and sole meunier. And, you know, she describes this later in the New York Times as this moment in her life where she has an opening up of the soul and spirit. And I'm like, that's pretty touching and pretty cool, right? I mean, at this moment, she's able to pinpoint this experience and put it into words, and that's pretty neat. But it's also, it's so simple because it's an infamous meal. But what we really kind of all felt about this moment was that she was, you know, older. Like, this is something that happened later in life, that you could reinvent yourself after 40. You're not stuck in your job, and you're not stuck in your life momentum. This person, Julia, actually had a life-changing experience much later in life. And I think that, a lot of us get weary and a lot of us feel jaded, but Julia kind of managed to find something new, in not quite the golden years, but definitely midlife. And I think that's amazing. And we thought this was incredibly cool because there's this weird thing that goes on right now. I feel like a lot of my friends are tapped into it, where age is kind of, talent seems to be discovered and revered if it's young, like a young internet executive, or, you know, these tennis pros or golf pros that are, I mean, barely, you know, 15 or 14, or even, you know, a famous chef that is really young and opens a famous restaurant, we're really happy for them. But it's also a little dispiriting that it all happens when they're 18, 19, 20. But Julia was a late bloomer, and I think we all kind of attached ourselves to that. We all kind of experienced this moment where, like, we could have a Julia moment ourselves. We could change our lives when we're 40. I'm a life changer myself. I used to be in advertising. I liked advertising enough, but the idea that I could open a bakery never really occurred to me. The idea that I could, change my career never occurred to me, because in my father's lifetime, that just didn't happen. So, we thought about this a lot while we were in Provence, and we thought it was appropriate while we were there to look for a Julia moment. So all of us kind of went around while we're in Provence looking for these Julia moments and kind of waiting for them to happen. And after we returned, we would call each other and, you know, ask each other, hey, did you have a Julia child moment yet? Meaning, did you have a life-changing moment yet? Which is probably not a good thing to ask for a friend who's in a really bad mood. But some of us did, and some of us didn't have these moments, but it doesn't really matter, because what we learned from Julia is that these moments happen at any time, and most importantly, they happen unexpectedly. And that's pretty, kind of the way life should be lived, I think. We had an amazing time on this trip. It was eye-opening in so many ways, because Provence is so special. I mean, it is kind of a stereotype, but if you haven't been, please get yourselves there immediately. And I remember the wine, and I remember the sun, and I remember the food. I even remember the people and the German tourists. I don't know why I remember the German tourists, but I remember them all over Provence. But the only thing that I really vividly remember that's like crystal clear from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed was that moment learning about Julia Child's moment. And that's always kind of stayed with me, and that's why I'm here tonight to tell you about it. And thanks for having me.